It's good to be back in the house of God and to be in the presence of God and worship. And we are to worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. If you're here and you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're an honored guest of the audience, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. But you must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood and washed your sins away. That same blood purchased His bride, His wife, the Church of Christ. The only one you ever read about in the Bible. Amen. You have to be baptized to become a member of the Church of Christ. This afternoon, we'll be talking about continuing our study series I'm working on called Post-Traumatic Spiritual Disorder, PTSD. PTSD. Comes from the thought of post-traumatic stress disorder. It's always in your past. From time we're born, we live life until we die. This line here is your life, my life. We start counting down and counting ages. You come to a day. Today, right now, is where you are in your life. Whatever age you are, this is your now time. But the past, there's trauma, can only be in your past. The future's not promised to us. You don't know nothing about what's going to happen tomorrow. This becomes trauma, post-traumatic, something that happened in your past. It's past trauma. And so for men who go to, men and women who go to war zones, they have post-traumatic stress disorders because of something they've seen or some type of tragic event that has disturbed their minds. But what I've been talking about is about life and about interpersonal relationships, where many people who have post-traumatic spiritual disorder, they actually have the clinical PTSD. Where they're dealing with traumatic events or traumas that happen in relationships, such as marriages that went bad and divorce and bad relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, one cheated on the other, and a husband that's abusive, or a wife that's verbally abusive to her husband, and someone who's been molested, or someone who has been raped, or something happened at the congregation you go on, and now you got bad relationship with members of the church and people not speaking and things like that. Something has traumatized. Children are traumatized. Uncle John molested her. Now she's 40 years old, but she hasn't never dealt with the trauma of what happened when she was a baby or when she was in her teens. And all of us got these post-trauma events. Post-traumatic events. And then I talked about how when that post-traumatic event, this thing called, the Bible calls it travail, the pain. You're dealing with the pain of the trauma. When someone hurts you, there's travail. There's some pain for some things just people say to you that are not painful. They're a little painful. It traumatizes you, but it's not the sore travail. And so you have, and someone brought this to my attention, like when soldiers come back, there are some soldiers who come back from war, they remember all the things they saw. They remember the things that they saw happen to them that stressed them to think about what happened. And then you have those who came back and they got their leg blown off. Amen. So not only do they have a mental stress disorder, a mental condition, but they have a physical condition, such as a woman who's been raped. She has not only the mental, but the body has been touched. Amen. It's been harmed. Just like a child. Not only do the child remember that daddy did that to me, but my body know it too, because there's a physical detail. So you got the amputees. So some folk have been just cut. about those who love them, a husband who raped his own wife, or just abused her, or hit her, or you know, physically, emotionally, or mentally abused. And you know, it's got the abusers, those who've been abused. You got all these things that can happen to people. So you got different levels of stress disorders. So when we look at PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorders, or bringing stresses into the lives of people, and then you have that travail, that wound that really, really hurt you, that husband that really, really hurt you, that wife that really, really hurt you, the divorce that really, really hurt you the most, the sore travail, and I talked about that in part one and two. You can get those that CD, and for those who had a highlight, part one and two were the first. I did both of those at one time here because most of you done heard about sore travail. But everywhere I travel, most people don't know about Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13, where God, the Bible says, this sore travail has God given to the sons of men to be exercised. So God, you said, Brother Brooks, you mean God allowed the rape? God could have stopped the rape. See, but God can stop anything, but he allowed life. Will send us tragedy. Life will send us trauma. Life will send us a difficult decision, a difficult circumstance. And he said, this is the source of that God given to the sons of man to be exercised. So I talked about how once we have been traumatized, whether in our past or whatever the post is, then we got to exercise. We got to deal with it with God or without God. Now the spiritual man deals with it with God. Amen. Y'all with me? And so then you look at, okay, so once I got the trauma, once I got the sore travail, then it, if it's not healed, it's always got a scab on it. And so every trigger in PTSD, the stress disorder, there are triggers. There are triggers. Everything triggers. Like I talked about my friend who was in the Army, and he was doing good, and all of a sudden, one of his old buddies called him, and he said, hey, man, you remember when we was over there in that truck, we had to pull them dead bodies out, and everything, it triggered all his PT, everything came back to him. He got the flight, he wanted to run, he was scared, he dreaming at night, jumping, because all the stuff was brought back, because it was never healed. They called it fight or flight. And so many people who are living this life as a child of God, the post-traumatic stress disorder, they still have not healed. And anything that look like it or sound like it pulls the scab off, and then blood starts flowing, but I call it the cold blood. Because that person who was hurt, because you hurt me, because I was hurt, and I'm reminded that I'm hurt, then I start treating you cold. I don't like you. I hate you. I can't stand you. And when I look at you, you know I don't like you. You got the cold-blooded treatment. I don't answer your calls. I ain't going to talk to you. I don't speak to you no more. I don't have nothing to do with my dad. I know he wasn't there for me. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to speak to him. He's not my daddy. See, the child was traumatized. Now, because I haven't healed, the cold blood starts to flow. But watch this now. Next one. Once the cold blood flows, other victims. There are other victims. See, because mama and daddy have a marital problem, the victims of their trauma are their children in the room hearing them fuss, hearing them fight. And because they're in the room, they become traumatized. Y'all with me? So my trauma has traumatized my child. So she's a victim of my trauma. Now guess what? The victims are some of those who have done the wrong and they want to be forgiven, but because of your cold blood, they are now imprisoned by the wrong that they done because you won't free them. Because you won't forgive them. Because you won't let it go. Because you bring up the past. Because you always remind me. Oh, do you remember when you did it? You remember? You ain't changed. You're the same. You don't remember? I forgive you, but I ain't gonna ever forget it. You want to know why? You want to know why? People act like that, y'all, because they have spiritual disorder. What I'm proposing, and I'm hoping to get this right, I think I'm on to something, really, I do. I'm hoping to get it into some form to help people, because I see in my life, when I was traumatized, I see it through all the cancer I've done over the years, that people have been traumatized by something that happened in their life that they never dealt with, and the stress of it, it'll kill you. Or it'll cause you to take your own life. Why do you think people commit suicide? Because being dead is better than dealing with the pain or the trauma. People who you never thought would think of taking their lives, there are probably some people in here, you look at them, you never think that person could think like that. Yeah, because you know what? It just seems to me, when you have stress disorder, that if I could just end it, if I can just end it, I can end the pain. But what we don't understand is that when a person is that mindset, they're only thinking about self. They're only thinking about their trauma. And you don't be too hard on them now. Because trauma can be painful. And the only way out is to end it. But then all of the victims come to play again. Because once a person takes their life, their mama is affected, their daddy is affected, their children are affected, their loved ones are affected. Everybody who loves you is now affected because you ended your pain and started theirs. Wow. Wow. Remember I was talking about the little boy that the mother thought she was helping by saying it was okay to be gay last week? 9-year-old. And he thought it was a great thing. You know, I'm coming out the closet, I'm gay. And so then his mom approves it in a sense that she, rather than talking to him, and that this is not okay to feel this way, we need to help you to understand what you're dealing with. She approves it in a sense, and so he goes to his peers at school, and he tells them he's gay. And the peers, of course, bullied him. They start to harass him. They start to talk about him. And his only out was, now I got this, I feel like a girl in a man's body. Now my friends don't like me. I'm unacceptable in society. I'm an outcast. So the best thing I can do is end my pain. So we got what? Stress disorders, don't we? Sort travails. Pain and victims. Then you got the diagnosing. In your life, you got to be able to look at yourself tonight, this afternoon, and say, you know, am I that person? And I talked about that last week. Because no one can help you until you know it's you. Just like David couldn't be helped, I talked about that last week, until Nathan went to him and he started telling him about the man that killed the little ewe lamb. That took the man's ewe lamb. And David asked, who is that man? And Nathan said, the man is you. My friends, until Brother Brooks see in the mirror, my trauma, I can't fix it. And I appeal to every one of us in here to ask ourselves the question, because even though you look like you came out of a good, upstanding home, in that home, you could have been traumatized. And I'll just say this to people who, you lived upright and you get in front of your kids, but there are some things you could have done that traumatized your kids and you don't even know it. Maybe how you treat one child better than the other child. And now that other child is scarred. Are you disciplining both of them the same way? You say, what do you say? Well, it's fair. If I give one this, I do it the other one. Well, let's think about that. Let's say one child loves to read and one child hates to read, but they both need discipline. So what you do, you say, and you say, both of you, go to your rooms, and books are in both rooms. Which one did you discipline? The one who hates to read. The one who loved to read? Okay. And? Your point? Yeah. So you didn't. So what are you saying, brother? See, even parents, and some of us may think we're just innocent little parents, but if you had one child that you treated different from the other child and you traumatized that child to make them think they're not as important as the other because you love the other one more than you love me and you talked about me and I didn't look like her or something like that, or you come into a home where you'd have stepped in, Daddy, and you stepped in and you loved your biological, you stepped in and you loved your biological, but you loved that other child. You know you didn't love that other child because you were just a step in. And that's the way you treated them children. And now they traumatized because you stepped in and showed them that, you know what, there's a difference between you and my own. Got stepmothers who stepped in. But they know the difference between the biological and their own. And the child that wasn't their own is traumatized because you acted like you wanted me to call you mama, but you didn't treat me like. Yeah. So now they traumatized, right? You got these step. I got a stepmama, stepdad, step-in, auntie, and step-in uncle. You got all kinds of step-ins. You got the children who are traumatized because now they didn't run away from home. Mama threw them away. It's one thing to be a runaway. It's another thing to be a throwaway. My mama don't love me. Why did my mama leave me? Why was I in foster care? Why did I have to get adopted? You see the trauma that child had to live with that the rest of their life. So then you go, you say, who did that to them? My question is, who did it? Who did it? I'm going to tell you who did it. You. And until you can do like David, say, I have sinned. I done wrong. Yes, you did. And it's time to fix it. Because not only do you have a stress disorder, you're affecting everybody else in your life with this stuff. You know how many people are affected through these terrible divorces and marriages? And them kids are all messed up over it? So this is a short afternoon sermon, so it's going to take more of me to deal with everything. And if I don't recap it, you won't get the point. So I have to recap it just so y'all see where I'm at. So where we at this afternoon is, you know, how do you identify how do I know that I'm the one? Well, you identify spiritual disorder. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and start at verse 31. I guess I did something wrong. I ain't getting no water this time. But I must have a disorder.
Let all bitterness and wrath.
Now, that mic ain't on. I can't hear him.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger.
Bitterness. Now, notice he says, let some bitterness.
All.
Huh?
All.
Well, this just me. You know, I mean, y'all don't know what I went through. You know, I'm the one went through the pain. You say, let all bitterness. I'm going, oh, I had a guy, I was looking at, you know, Sharon watched ID all night long. I got to watch it whether I want to or not. And, you know, you all getting hooked on ID. You thought, okay, what's the next case? You know, one guy said, and he was saying about his father and how his father and all the trauma he went through growing up, how his father forced him to do things and all that. But in the end, he looked at the picture of his father and he said, I believe in God, but I will never forgive that man. He said, I'm going to believe in God, but I will never forgive that man And that man was his own daddy. Why? Just saying you believe in God does not mean you have spiritual life. Does not mean you have spiritual order. If you are bitter, he said, let all, not some, that all continues, bitterness,
and wrath,
all wrath, and all anger,
clamor,
all clamor,
evil
all
speaking,
evil speaking,
be put away
all,
from you with all
of it, all of it. Let me give y'all some other English versions where it says, let all bitter, sharp, angry feelings, noise, and evil words be put away from you with all unkind acts. Stop being bitter, angry, and mad at others. Don't yell at one another. Don't that sound like folk? Just yelling at you. You're in the same house. So loud, you're chewing back there with their hands in the ear, but they don't want to hear no more of that foolishness. Never be bitter, angry, mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, anger. No more shouting. No more insulting one another. No more hateful feelings of any sort. All I'm saying, you all, when you know that you have bitterness in your heart, you have PTSD. You have a spiritual disorder. You have a problem. It is you. If two people, two grown folk married, and they can't talk without raising their voice, both of them have spiritual disorders. Anger management problems, or spiritually, emotionally aroused by the act of somebody else. You start just cutting up and acting, slamming doors and throwing stuff. What is wrong with you? You have a spiritual disorder. You act out wrath. Anger is not controlled, and it leads you to wrath or rage or hurt or retaliation, or you're going to get them back. You're going to get vengeance some kind of way. Some folks are afraid to go to sleep at night. It's bad when you got to live with a woman. You got to sleep with one eye closed and another one open. Because you don't know what that sister going to do. Who's that brother that pulled that hot grits on? Who was that?
Al Green.
Who?
Al Green.
You used to listen to him or something? How you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
Al Green. Al Green understood what hot grit, why it was. And so when you look at this, you look at that, people can get so angry, they get into that mode of, vengeance, I will win. I will win. You will lose. I'm going to win. Then you got the clamor, that noise, that disorder, that the high word, the screaming at each other and hollering at each other and talking back to each other and smarting off each other. Then you got the evil speaking, the slander, start backbiting, calling your friends, talking about it, doing things behind their back, angry expressions, tell-bearing reproaches. What is all going on, Brother Brooks? All I'm doing is identifying spiritual disorder. Let's go to Colossians 3 and look at a couple few more of them that comes into the. And it's always about relationships. It's always about relationships. It's all about how someone done you wrong. Something wrong you. Someone wrong you. Notice he said, now put off, verse number 8, put off.
All these,
anger,
wrath,
malice,
blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
What kind of communication?
Filthy.
Nasty mouth, folk. The way they said it, where I grew up, this is nasty, just as nasty. And you know, and the sad thing about it, when they start cursing out their children, calling them names, foul language. You know, when folk get mad at you, they'll call you name. They'll call your name real quick and say, excuse my expression. They say, excuse my. What do you mean, excuse your expression? Tell me, excuse my expression and pretty much lay your Christianity to the side just a second so I can give you a piece of my. You know what? Think about this. And this is a cop-out for me. And it's in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to go back and look at that real briefly here. Look at this. It says that... excuse me just a second. In verse 26, I want y'all to look at this briefly with me. This is going to be short tonight, but this afternoon. But he said, be ye
angry
and
sin not. Let not the sun go
down.
Now,
that's a cop-out right there. See, some folk use that one verse and say, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with me getting angry at him. I'm going to always be angry with him. No. You have a spiritual disorder. Because he said, don't let the sun go down
upon your wrath.
Because that anger is step one. Anger leads to wrath. Wrath is when you go into a rage to retaliate. So you thinking it out. Your anger is the start of the beginning of leading to wrath. So he said, don't you let that sin, that anger, take you into a sinful state of mind. So then he goes on later on in verse 31. He said, by the way, let all bitterness and anger and wrath put it away. The Bible does not approve you being angry for the rest of your life at that person. He said, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying not to one another. Notice that. You know how many people just lie. Just lie. Notice what some English verse say. You must stop doing such things. You must quit being angry, hateful, and evil. You must no longer say insulting or cruel things about others. You stop lying to each other. But put away these things: wrath, passion, bad feelings, curses. He'll call himself a Christian and curse like a sailor. Amen, somebody. Y'all know anybody to curse? When the last time you said a curse word? Y'all ain't going to help me along here, is you? You know what I'm saying? Well, long as you calm, right? Long as you don't pull the scab off, I won't curse you. But you pull the scab off one time, you're going to get a curse word out of my mouth. My little lips right here will give you some whooping. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? Right here will come from this mouth. It's like a bullet. It's a gun. So when you pull it, the trigger, let it go. You can't take it back. Don't talk about, I'm sorry, I didn't mean. No. You said it, yes. Yes, you did. And I ain't gonna, come on, y'all, help me. I ain't gonna forget what you said, because what you said, I believe, is what you meant. And what you said hurt me, and I'm going to let you know I ain't forgot what you to. Thank you. And then you say, well, I forgive you. I'm sorry. And then the next day, you bring it up again. You lying. Somebody ought to say amen. Ain't nobody go. Now, you know how many times you done told somebody that you forgave them, then you know you didn't. You want to now. You might say, I really, now this, some of us with spiritual disorder, some of y'all with spiritual disorder just need to be honest with yourself and just say, and be honest with the other person. Say, I need to forgive you. I know I need to forgive, but I have not forgiven you. And stop lying, tell them you have. Amen. Let me close. This ain't helping y'all, no. No, it ain't gonna help y'all. Y'all all right. All of y'all got good order. I think you see my point. If you have any of these things going on in relationships that you are in or situations that you got into, and I know there are some things that are so painful. It's unimaginable. It's like it cannot be that simple. Yeah, it is. Here's why it's as simple as forgiveness. It's as simple as forgiveness. Am I oversimplifying it? Well, let's look at what the Lord said. In Colossians chapter 3, I mean Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, and look what happens after that. He says in verse 32.
And be ye kind now, one to another.
Now he said, here's, be what?
Kind one to another.
He come out all that stuff away. Then he said, what you do, if you want a better marriage, if you want to stop the fussing and fighting in the house, you start being kind. Not just one of you, but both of you. Mm-hmm. You kind one to another.
Tenderhearted.
Consider, people make mistakes. People have wronged you, but you done wronged some folk too. You ain't that perfect. You ain't got no halo. You haven't done everything right. We have to be tenderhearted to the fact that other people can wrong me, and I know they wrong me. I felt the pain of it. However, the Lord is saying, be kind, be tenderhearted. Then he says something else.
Forgiving one another.
Doing what?
Forgiving one another.
Why?
Even as God, for Christ's
sake,
has forgiven you.
Because the relationship with you is God. And you alone in him, how many times have you insulted God through your life and living? And every time is as simple as this, is that you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And he do what? It ain't oversimplified. It's what spiritual people do. And when you can't forgive, you have a spiritual disorder. But if you can't ask for forgiveness, you have a spiritual disorder. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you got to look in the mirror, and you go back to your honey, you go back to your spouse, you go back to your daddy, you go back to the person you hurt, and you say to them, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I wrote a song called Second Chance Love. Talking about how God gave us second chance. I might read it to y'all one of these days. Second chance. How many times has God given us a chance to get right? Has he not done it over and over and over? Is it oversimplified? Or is it just a matter of being like God? It's a matter of being like God, isn't it? Because God can forgive no matter how bad you done him. But not like us, huh? What is the difference between us and God? Well, God said, your sin I remember no more. Not that he's incapable of remembering, but his choice is to blot it out. In our minds, we can do the same thing. We can do it. You can do it. If you're spiritual, you can forgive. But if you can't forgive, you have PTSD. What you mean, Brother Brooks? You got post-traumatic spiritual disorder. And if you don't get it right, you're going to die in your sins. Is it dangerous? Yes. But think about this, the flip side of it. Who can you help when you get in order? That's coming next. If you get your spiritual life in order, who will you impact? You know who it might be? The very person who gave you trauma. It may be that you saved the very person's life that traumatized yours. Isn't that good? Isn't that good or not? That's good. But if I don't care about my soul, guess what? I'm not interested in saving them. What I'm interested in the spiritual disorder is keeping them in pain like I was. And you stay right there. I ain't trying to get you out because you're the bird in the cage. As long as I can see you, it reminds me you're trapped. But the bird in the cage needs to be freed. And what you do as a spiritual man or woman is you open the door and let them fly free. But you always remember they were in the cage because you always have memory, but you gave them forgiveness. And that's when you got your spiritual life in order. Good lesson. If you're here today, you're not a Christian, you need to. Your life is sure enough out of order if you're not a Christian. You do that by believing that God sent his son. His son came to this world. They treated him cruelly. They mocked him. They slapped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They whipped him with a whip. They hung him on the old cross of Calvary with nails in his hands and his feet. And there he would hang to save the world. And the very people who traumatized, the very people who killed him, he was able to look at him on his deathbed and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a love story, right? For God so loved us, his son so loved us, gave his only begotten son. His son gave his life, and greater love had no man than this. He laid down his life for who? His friends. He called the enemies his friends. He called his murderers his friends. He called those who hated him his friends, because he had spiritual order. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you get yours in order by believing in him. Repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then you receive the Spirit, and you're in order with God. Spiritual order is you and God vertical. You're in it. A relationship, that's spiritual order. When you leave the relationship, that's spiritual disorder. Stay in the relationship, you have what? Order. Leave the relationship, never get in the relationship, disorder. How you going to deal with your past? Without God. But life is going to send you some pain. But the choice I've made, and I hope the one you'll make, is that I'm going to deal with life with God. And whatever comes, I know God is bigger than the pain that comes with it. Amen. If you're here tonight and you want to come, we want you to come. If you want to be baptized, come tonight. We'll baptize you so you can get your life in order with God. If you need prayer, come. If you need to make confession, come. Come as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.